Amen.
And today we'll continue in what I believe Jesus was saying to us when he died on the cross. When he died on the cross, he went to the grave, was in the tomb 3 days, and rose from the grave. And so there's some work that Jesus Christ, everything that he does for a reason, for a purpose. Everything. And one of the main reasons I want to talk about for the next couple of weeks, we'll start today, it's a topic that I believe that I love what Miss Carolyn said a while ago, and it went right along with what I'll be talking about today. I want us to look at this topic here for the next couple of weeks, and I believe it's vital. I believe it gives us life. I'm going to share with you some things that out of the Word of God, as well as personally, that God has brought into our life and has given us life through what I believe he wants us to talk about today. In Mark 11:25, it says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Let's pray. Father, this is a touchy subject. It's tough. It's hard. But Lord, we know that you're giving us grace today to walk in the liberty that you've given us. And that is based out of your truth, out of your work, and out of what you've done. And Lord, thank you that you caused me to speak your words today. That as I represent you, Lord, you'll flow through my mouth and touch our hearts and draw us closer to you. Give us insight, revelation, who you are, how great you are, and a desire to follow you in all of our ways. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Forgiveness is defined as a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance towards someone who has harmed you, regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness. Wow. Back several years ago, Cameron, my sister's oldest son, Cameron, Reagan, and our daughter Jordan, fairly close in age, 2 months apart. Thank you. I looked to her because I knew she would know that. So they're 2 months apart. Well, when they were small, when they were little, they always played together, and Jordan and Cameron would play together, and them being the same age. Well, one time Jordan ran up. They were all at the house. My sister and the family was all over, and Jordan came up and said that Cameron told her that she was ugly and her feelings were hurt. And so she was upset. She was crying to her mama and said, "Mama, I can't believe Cameron told me I was ugly." Well, so my sister overheard that Cameron said that to Jordan. And so my sister Lynn went up to Cameron and said, "Cameron, you should not have said that. That's not what you're supposed to do. I want you to go apologize to Jordan for what you said." So Cameron reluctantly went up, and Cameron's mom was standing there with him, and Cameron walks up to Jordan. He says, "I'm sorry, you're ugly." Just kind of have to look at the heart. You know, he meant well. It just didn't come out right. Forgiveness could be one of the most difficult decisions we will ever make in our life. But forgiveness brings the greatest fruit of most anything in our life. Forgiveness comes out of salvation. Jesus paid the price for our forgiveness. He forgave. And as we've just read, that as he forgave us, we're also to forgive, to receive the true revelation of what forgiveness really is. It is tough to forgive, especially when that person doesn't deserve it, especially when they're ugly. Well, if you know Jordan, Jordan's not ugly. But it's a tough decision. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, the Bible said. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave after he made the decision to forgive. What can we conquer after we make the decision to forgive? What is being held back in our life because we have not chose to forgive? Forgiveness is a decision, it's not a feeling. It's hard to have a feeling of forgiveness. It's hard to be excited tomorrow morning. You know what? I am so excited today, I'm going to forgive my enemies. I'm going to forgive those that called me ugly. I'm going to forgive those who have hurt me, have used me, has said things about me that are not true. Some of them may be true, but it's beside the point. They've hurt my feelings. So get up tomorrow morning and excited about forgiving. That's not something that we normally do. Forgiveness is not natural. Forgiveness and having a forgiving heart is not a natural thing to do. There's a study performed many years ago about the connection of forgiveness and our health. And in that study, a clinical psychologist discovered this, and this is what he said: when I treated patients with cardiovascular disease, I was struck by how many were bitter, angry, and depressed. Goes on to say, it clearly affected their health and their ability to heal. And finally, he said, grudges take up our two most valuable resources, our time and our mind. Think about it. But Jesus wants us to be healed physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Let me say that again. Jesus wants us to be healed physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He came to bring wholeness to us. He knew that we would be hurt. Jesus was hurt. Are we any greater than Jesus Christ? He was hurt. He was spat upon. He was used. He was lied about. They were plotting to kill him and killed him. And so there will be times in our life, like Crystal said a while ago, there will be mourning. There will be pain in the night. But there's some things that I believe Jesus portrays and models for us that we need to learn from so that we can be healed. There's a healing that we can experience in our life if we can come to a place of sacrificing and being obedient to God. Obedience is a sacrifice. Obedience is not fun. It's not something we want to do, especially if it's something we don't want to do. Obedience is great when it's fun. But obedience is not as fun when it's not something we want to do. And forgiveness is not one of those of our top three. Jesus wants us healthy in every area of our life. There's always solid facts. There's always good reasons. There's always justification why we shouldn't forgive. We can make a long line. And if we're not careful, we look at the justification not to forgive so that we don't have to forgive. But that's not justification to not forgive. We're to forgive anyway. If we're looking for an offense to justify our forgiveness, there will not be one found. Offenses don't carry with it the fun of forgiving. What appears as a weakness of the flesh is supernatural in our spirit when we choose to forgive. 1 Corinthians 1:25 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And even though it seems foolish to forgive, it seems weak to forgive, it actually represents the wisdom and greatness of how big God is. And there's so much tied to us releasing and forgiving and letting that thing go. I'm going to talk about that. If you remember the story of Joseph, Joseph had brothers. He was one of the 12 tribes of Israel, the son of Jacob. And something about Joseph, his father liked and favored somewhat, and his brothers picked up on that, and his brothers were not excited about that. They thought that Joseph was treated with special treatment. Joseph's brothers used him. Joseph's brothers plotted to kill him. They made fun of him. They lied about him, said things that weren't true, but yet Joseph forgave his brothers. And in Genesis 37:18-20, it says, now when they saw him, when his brothers saw Joseph afar off, even before he came near, they conspired against him to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come, therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit. And we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. In other words, let's take care of this dude. I'm tired of hearing him talk and walk around me with that arrogantness about him. See, when your enemies become jealous of you, even some family becomes jealous of you, there's a plot and there's a tension in the air. And it creates a problem. Couldn't God have spared Joseph the heartache and the trouble of his brothers being jealous of him? Couldn't God have spared him the trouble of being thrown into a pit? Couldn't God have spared Joseph all the heartache that was caused Joseph? We say, well, God, why did you allow this thing into my life? Why did you allow this situation with my family, with my son, with my grandson, with all these? Why, God, why couldn't you have saved me from that? But if we look in the story of Joseph, God used the pit to be Joseph's greatest testimony. So if we're not careful, we despise the very thing or possibly the very person that God will use to bring us closer to him. And we stand back and we say with resentment, God, you should have spared me from this trouble. You should have spared me from this problem. You should have spared me from this pit in my life. Where were you, God? And God is using that to fuel us, to get us through, and to be our greatest form of testimony. Many times we're holding unforgiveness at a situation or a person or an event because it created harm and it created hurt in our life. So if we're not careful, we can hold those things in higher regard than God because our focus is on that event where we're so hurt rather than the faithfulness of God to bring us through it and to cause us to forgive. And so the key in Joseph's life was that he walked in forgiveness. He didn't allow the things that his brothers, family, and all the things around him were doing against him to tear him down. He didn't allow those things to hold him back. And then we see that Joseph had the authority then to get even with his brothers. This was his prime opportunity. He possibly had waited. If it were some of us, we would have had such a resentment and vengeance in our heart to, well, you know what, this is my opportunity. I'm going to get back at them really good. Well, Joseph didn't even do that. He still took the action and made the decision to forgive in Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 and 20. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, because his brothers were afraid. We're here and Joseph is there. He's in a high place now. And so Joseph has the ability to actually take our life and make our life miserable. So his brothers were worried and concerned for their own lives, but Joseph said to them, don't be afraid, for I am in the place of God. That says a lot. He was in the place of God. In other words, he was in a place to where his heart was free of the bitterness and resentment that possibly could have built up from the accusations, the lies, the actions that were taken against him by his own brothers. But as for me, verse 20 says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God, goes back to what Crystal said earlier, pain is in the night, but joy comes in the morning. It says, but God, in verse 20, halfway through, but God meant it for good. How can God mean something that bad and that ugly and that difficult and that painful for good? God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Wow. The story goes on about Joseph, that he was greatly blessed. Joseph was greatly blessed because of his decision to forgive. He became ruler of Egypt. Highly favored and blessed by God. That didn't mean his problem stopped. If you're going to read, you'll see that Joseph had more problems and more things that he had to face. Jesus also speaks of forgiving. In Matthew 5:44, verses 43 and 44, he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus gives us four instructions here. Now I pray we none have enemies. But the devil is our enemy, our ultimate enemy, and He causes people sometimes in events to work against us to try to bring a wedge between us and God. He will do what he can if it's even a situation to where someone didn't mean anything by it. It makes you question, oh, I wonder what they meant by what they said. And so the devil has a way of manipulating things and turning things around to where we look at situations in a different light sometimes. Overthinkers do that sometimes, and they think there's a ploy to take you down. And so the enemy actually winds up taking advantage of a situation that's not meant for evil, but God wants us to learn from that, and the devil wants to take us out. And so there are more instructions here. What are we to do when we face our enemy? And that is to love. The first one is to love. Now, love is not earned. As we know that Jesus loved us before we were unlovable. We didn't know Jesus, and the Bible says he loved us. We weren't thought of, and the Bible says that Jesus loved us. How can we love somebody that we don't even like? Is there someone in your life that come to your mind just then that you really don't like that person, but you've got to love them? You can love them with the love of God. You can love them with a everlasting, pure love that they will turn their eyes toward God. Even your enemies, the Bible says, we're to love our enemies. We know 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, and an excerpt from that, verses 4 to 8, says love suffers long and is kind. Talking about the love of the Lord. This is not natural. This is the love of God that we receive, that he gives to us, and we turn around and give to others. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Verse 8. We do our share of premarital counseling, and this is one really that would solve probably 99% of the problems, whether it's concerning money, whether it's concerning family, whether it's concerning this, that, or the other. This is really the foundation. It's the foundation of our salvation. It's the foundation of forgiveness. It's the foundation of a healthy life with the spouse and loved ones. Love never fails, the Bible says. We're to love. We're to love. Those that aren't even lovable, we're to love. Those that spitefully use us, we're supposed to love. Love's the foundation of everything Jesus did, everything Jesus does. Love is the foundation of all that. Even his correction to us is done in love. Jesus doesn't do anything toward us in any way opposite of love or outside of love. It's all founded in love. The second thing Jesus instructs us to do is bless. To love and to bless. See, Jesus offers his blessings to even those that step away from him. I can't receive his blessings as long as I'm away from him, but he still extends his blessing to me even when I turn my back on him. Saying, Mike, I want to bless you. I want to bless you. I want to prosper you. I want good things for you. Well, that's the way we're supposed to be for our enemy too. That we're to bless them. Not bless them out. Bless them. It's a matter of the heart. How's our heart? Is our heart really for them to prosper? Is our heart for them to do well? Well, the Lord says he will fulfill the desires of our heart as long as we're connected to him. And so as we bless them with the blessing of God, what we're saying is, may your life be connected to Jesus so that you can be blessed. Our life is only temporary blessed at best if we're outside of Jesus Christ. That goes for me, you, and everybody else. Our blessing comes up from only one source, and that's from God himself. And so our offenses toward God, we offend God. We sometimes turn our back on God to the extent of we're just outright disobedient to God. And he still extends his blessing to us. Come back to me. I want you to be blessed. The blessing comes from the Lord. And that's our heart to our enemies, to those who spitefully use us. The Bible even says that in His presence is fullness of joy. Sometimes we don't have joy because we're not in His presence. And so we can't expect the joy of the Lord to go where we go if we're outside of the presence of the Lord. Does that mean that God doesn't extend His blessing of His presence, of joy? Of course He does, but we walk outside of that. We cannot enjoy the joy of the Lord when we're outside of the presence of God. So it's when we're in God's presence, it's when we're connected to Him, it's when we can experience the joy and the fullness of the joy. Not just joy, He says fullness of joy. The fullness of the joy is found in the presence of God. And so our blessing and the enemy's blessing that we're blessing, we're not saying, I want you to prosper in that thing that you're doing. Even when you're coming against me and everybody else and you're disobedient to God, you'd be blessed. Well, that's not biblical, because our blessing comes from God and those connected to God. We even see that in the Bible, He talks about in Matthew, the branches being connected to the tree, our vine, our life source, being connected to Jesus Christ. So if that branch on that tree there is broken off from the tree, it cannot live and prosper and be what it's supposed to be because it is cut off from the life source. And so the life source must be pouring into that branch for it to flourish, to be green, to be strong, to prosper. That's the same way it is with us. So when we bless our enemy, we don't have to say, well, oh, I don't want to bless my enemy because I don't want him to do well. I don't want him. No. We bless our enemy saying that I bless you, that you become connected to God so that when you're in His presence, you'll experience the fullness of joy. So that's the blessing. And that's the blessing we all need to seek every single day. Being connected to Him so that we don't lack joy, that we don't lack faith. See, all of that, everything that we need, our life source is found in God. Romans 12:14 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. See, the words that we speak out of our mouth toward our enemy that are bad, that are really what we feel. It's what I feel, so I should say it. You don't need to say everything you feel. That's not good. So we think, well, I feel that way, so I'm going to speak it. This is how I really feel, so I'm going to tell you how I feel. Well, many times when we speak those negative things, they don't affect the other person. They come back to us and take root in our own heart. And that's the last thing we need. We don't need bitterness and corruption and anxiety and all those things taking root in our heart, but sometimes they do because that's what we spoke about the other party. Well, they deserved it. Well, let God take care of that. If we got what we deserved, we wouldn't be standing here either. Bless those who persecute you. The third instruction of Jesus is to do good. Doesn't it just get better and better, doesn't it? Do good, Jesus said. Do good. Do good requires action. It's a tough one because we've got some, and I've experienced in my life, some that make it their, seems like their life goal to tear you down and to cause you not to do well. And so we're called to bless, to love, and now to do good. Let me bring clarity to that. I don't think that means that we're to open our front door and say, come on in, bring your whip with me, and I'll be here in the chair and you can just beat the tar out of me. That's not the do good. The do good is our heart of God toward that person. And so it's not opening in a situation where a husband and wife it's an awful situation and there's abuse involved and she has decided to forgive him, or possibly he's decided to forgive her, and we're trying to walk in the truth of God's word and to do good. And so, okay, well, I'm opening up my home back to you to come back in. That's not wisdom. That's not what I'm saying. Our doing good does not mean that we walk outside of God's wisdom. We need to guard and protect, and we need to to take stands where there stands to be taken, and be wise in the Lord's eyes. And so that doesn't mean that you open yourself up for abuse and say, well, come on back in. That's not the forgiveness that Jesus is calling us to. We're to do good by loving and praying for them. Our feelings most times comes after our ability to say it. So sometimes we have to say, I pray good upon you. I pray God's blessing on you. I love you. We say it before we feel it. Sometimes it takes a little bit for our feelings to catch up with our actions. But our actions need to line up with the obedience of God's word and allow God to work in our life to bring the feelings. If we say everything we feel, it's not necessarily going to be good for our heart. So we need to have our heart. This is Jesus telling us how to keep our heart pure. There's a fruit that comes out of this. Romans 12, 17 through 20 says, repay no one evil for evil. Jesus knows there's going to be evil dealt to his children, to those that are trying to do the best they can. As Crystal said earlier, you know, doing the best we can, and here we are, these things are happening. Don't repay evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, I love that, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I've had some over the years to tell me, well, I'm not at peace with that person. I want there to be peace. How can I have? You can't force peace. You can't. That's a square block and a round hole. You will not get it in there. And if you do, it's going to tear something up. Peace can't be forced. And so as long as it depends on you, you live peaceably with all men. So there may be times out of your control that peace cannot be present. But in your heart, in my heart, there can be the peace of God. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Give place for wrath, to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. In other words, we have to back off and let God do. God can do a lot more than we can do. Don't you agree? Or that his timing is very good. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, this is it. This is the doing good. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We have to be careful, because if I find out where my enemy lives, I would want to take him a glass of tea with a little bit of grit in my teeth. Here's some tea. I want you to enjoy this. You know. But I believe what he's saying is, when we find them, there will come a place in their life that they're at the end of their own self, and we've got to have so much love of God that we're willing to help them at that point of need. Sometimes our help can only fuel the fire. God's not calling us to fuel the fire. He's calling us to be at peace with man. And when the time comes, and it will, when the time comes and our enemy is in need, give him drink, give him food. I want resolve to this. Has anybody ever said that? I want resolve to this now. I want this to be ended. I want this to be done with. Well, we've got to give place to God and let him work this thing out. That's part of forgiveness. Forgiveness is releasing, remember? It's not, I'm forgiven, but I'm going to hold this chain. And if you turn just a little bit, and so that's not true forgiveness. That's keeping our heart attached to that thing, and we're not going to be able to be free like the Lord wants us to be. And then the fourth instruction is to pray. Pray. Pray for our enemy. The Bible says, Jesus says, to pray for those who've offended us. Pray for those that even spitefully use us. They're doing it on purpose, and I'm supposed to pray for them. They've made a plan. Joseph's brothers made a plan, but yet Joseph was to follow God and have his heart in the right place and pray for his brothers. That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. That's what he portrayed, and that's what he's calling us to portray. Why is forgiveness so important? It's that important? Yes, it is very important. We're to pray for our enemy. Mark 11:25, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. As we're praying, we can't necessarily enjoy the answer of our prayer when we've got a wall in our heart because of this situation. We're to forgive, we're to release. We're to forgive, he says, so that our Father in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. We're to pray for our enemy. As we pray, I have found that I don't necessarily change God's mind as much as I change my heart to align with his mind. As I pray, I begin to think like he thinks. As I pray, the more I pray for that person who has done some things toward me and against me, and I have found that my perception of that person changes into maybe a little more of the likeness of myself. My heart softens toward them to where I feel sorry for them, and I pray that God will get their attention, that they will turn to God and they'll be saved for their life and those around them. And so as I pray, I'm not necessarily praying, God, I want you to change your mind, and I would like for lightning to strike this afternoon at 5:43 and burn that house to the ground. That's not what we're supposed to pray. Forgiveness is important. Our heart to align with God is important. Corrie Ten Boom, we read many books, I'm sure, over the years of her. She called herself a tramp for the Lord as she shared the love of forgiveness of Jesus. She went to heaven in 1983. She was 91 years old, but she was a survivor of an awful and terrible abuse. She knew that she needed to tell others what she and her sister Betsy had learned as prisoners in a concentration camp. Her sister Betsy summed it up when she said this: "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." And she said, God will give us the love to be able to forgive our enemies. And that's what they did. Beaten and abused and all the awful and terrible abuse that happened. That is a decision to forgive. What kind of freedom will it be in our life to forgive that way? To release those things that are holding us back. There are things that have developed against you possibly. There are situations, there are people, there are things possibly that are going on in your life right now that you're saying, you know, I wish there was an end to this. I wish this hurt would end. There's some things maybe that happened to you 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 25, 30, 40 years ago. Sometimes things like that will just stick with you and you'll carry them for the rest of your life. And it's hurt and it's pain. But it doesn't hurt anyone else. It hurts you and it harms you and it holds you back from experiencing God's goodness and his blessing. I want to share with you today that God wants you free of all those things in your past and all those things that hold you back. There's a freedom that will come into your life that can't come any other way except that you forgive and you release those things, those hurtful things. And possibly they're still going on. Possibly if you were to still walk into the situation or in the presence of that person, it's still alive as far as they're concerned. But you know what? There can be a change today. There can be a release. There can be a concerted effort. There can be a decision made that, you know what? I'm going to release that thing from my life. Now, that doesn't mean that it wouldn't hurt for days to come. That doesn't mean that that you won't feel the pain of that. That means that every time you think about it, I'm deciding to forgive. I make a decision to forgive. By the blood of Jesus Christ, by the power of Jesus Christ, by the price he paid for me, by the way he forgave me, I'm choosing to forgive. And if you remind yourself of that, what you're doing is speaking by faith what you want your heart to receive. That's why it's so important that we speak that thing before it's done. If we wait for it to be done before we speak it, that's not faith. Anybody can say that. But if we speak that thing before we see it, and it lines up with the Word of God, It lines up with what Jesus is telling us today. Then we can speak that thing before we see it. We get it in our heart to receive it. We walk in the liberty of Jesus Christ, and we will see a change. There'll be a change. There'll be a change, namely, in our own heart, that we can receive what God wants us to receive. Because what will happen with that bitterness, with that resentment in our heart, we'll come into a situation where we react to something, and it's that resentment, that bitterness reacting, and you think, why was I so ugly? Why was I so, has anybody done that? Why was I so short-tempered? Why was I, see, the fruit of the Spirit comes from God, and as we get more of God, we get more of His fruit in our life, so that when we're in tight situations and we've got to make a decision real sudden, that we know that we can respond by the words of Christ rather than the words from those resentful things in our heart. And so there's a disconnect today that I believe that God wants to take place in our life, that we release those things, that we forgive those things, and allow God to be our life source today. Crawford. It's interesting that Crystal didn't know the fullness of what I was going to be sharing today. And so yesterday we were in the car driving, and somehow this came up. And I didn't bring it up. We were talking about, I forget now how it came up yesterday. We were talking and had a few minutes of writing. And I know how God has she shared with you briefly, and you've heard a lot of our story of the things that we've faced and been through over the years, and some people say, well, my goodness, you've had it easy all your life. You were born with this or born with that, and you've had it so easy. I love for y'all to know that that's not been the case at all. It's been a life of battle. It's been a life of struggle. But we are here to stand and to say that it's because of God's faithfulness that we're here today with a smile on our face, and we're healthy and whole, and we're able to walk around. But there was a decision that Chris and I made many years ago. This has been quite a while back. And I hadn't thought about this in years and ages. I don't think I've ever told her or repeated it. And she said that yesterday. I said, you know what, baby? I've got to tell that tomorrow. And then we were caught in a situation many years ago, and I was at fault. I was at fault in the situation, and I recognized that. And so we met. There was a person in authority there, and it was me and Crystal, and it was another party. How many know it takes two to tango? There's two at fault. I'm there saying, okay, I'm at fault, and I repent. I'm sorry. And apologized and was anxious to do that. Well, the other party didn't. They were the ones that was innocent. They were the innocent bystander. And it took a little while to work through that too. So the other party, they made their decision to do what they said they were going to do. And so this is the thing that hurt. This is really what, looking back yesterday, this is what really brought revelation in my goodness, is that that person in authority at that time took sides with the other party, the one that was innocent, took sides with the other party and said, well, we'll show favoritism to them for whatever reason. And we did what we felt like God wanted us to do. We forgave, and I'm at fault. Here it is. I'm laying it on the table. I accept that I didn't do what I should have done. And so time went on, and I found that the hurt from the person in authority, that was hurtful. It was more hurtful because they were in authority and we were looking up to them and honoring them, and they kind of turned their back on us when we did what we felt was right. And So, you know, yesterday I thought, you know, I never saw it that way. Is basically what we were saying was we deserve favoritism because we were obedient. Many times that doesn't draw God's favoritism. That doesn't draw man's favoritism. But what it did, it turned the person in authority more toward them because they felt like they were the ones that was taken to the slaughter and they were innocent. And because of other people and other situations, they're now harmed. And so it was a couple of years later, I discovered that it was harming me in that I was allowing the hurt of that situation to hurt. It was controlling me. I began to think about it more and more. And so it was one Thanksgiving a couple of years later, it came to me, do something. Offer her up something. So I went to Crystal and I said, baby, and it's not about money. So understand that this was just what God spoke to me. He said, get a card, put a few $100 in that card, and call them and tell them you've got a gift for them to take to their house. Now, we still talked, but that thing, they didn't even know that they had offended me. That's the thing. They probably wouldn't have done it on purpose. So I was about to call up and say, listen, you know, a couple of years ago when you did that thing, you offended me and I'm mad. Would that have, I didn't feel like it was the thing to do. But God spoke to my heart and he said, this is the thing you're to do. Okay, here I am. I've already asked for forgiveness. I've admitted wrong. And now I'm supposed to take them a card with a monetary gift, a substantial monetary gift, and to give to them. Does that make any sense? But listen to what God did. We did what I told Crystal, and she said, yes, that's, we need to do that. So we did. We bought the card. And the day before Thanksgiving, day it might have been the day of Thanksgiving, that year, that next couple of years, went by and saw them for 5 minutes or so and said, we love y'all and appreciate you. We gave honor. The next Thanksgiving, I remember what I did the last Thanksgiving. We said, you know what? Let's do that again. The next Thanksgiving, we went and called. The third year, we're on your way over. We want to take something to you. Did the same thing. Fourth Thanksgiving, did the same thing. Each year, I didn't notice this until yesterday. How many years did we do that? 7 years? 6, 7, 8 years? We did that in a row, every single Thanksgiving. Why we chose Thanksgiving beats me. We were thankful, I guess. But what registered yesterday is something that Crystal said. She said, honey, she said, our forgiveness really affects every part of our life. And when she said that, a light just went off. And I said, baby, who's to say that because of our act of forgiving, is it why I'm healthy and alive today? I mean, how can you measure the impact and the fruit of forgiving? By us being obedient, by us releasing that very thing, I was able to release from my heart. And today, besides our conversation yesterday, I hadn't thought a thing about it. Each year, there was a release in my spirit. I didn't. You say, well, man, you're smart. No, I'm not. I ain't half that smart. That's God. I was just smart enough to obey God. That's all. And by my obedience to God, he did something greater than... I'm standing here telling you something today that I just got revelation of yesterday. Of all those years ago, of possibly... Why we're blessed and why we're healthy and why we've come through the things we've gone through could very well be that card that we gave them each year to release that thing in my heart that could have taken me down. That's how powerful forgiveness is. See, the same forgiveness that we forgive, we're able to receive from God. Have I ever done wrong? Yeah, 2 or 3 times I've done wrong. And so by me forgiving, the Bible says, as I forgive, I'm able to receive the forgiveness of God. It's not with limitations. It's not with stipulations. It's not with, Mike, you've got to confess me for 5 days in a row. He's asking for my heart. He's asking me to confess Him and to profess Him. That's all He's asking for today. And so I believe that the Lord wants to bring a release today. Let's all stand together this morning. I'm going to ask Crawford to lead us in just a moment. But Jesus, I believe as we forgive, there's a fruit that's going to come into our life. I don't know how that'll be. It could be health, could be relationships, could be a new job, it could be anything. See, everything in your life, God says you need. He says the food and the clothing and all those things, they're important, but He said, seek me first. And then all these things will be added to you. God's not against those things. He's against what we're seeking first. If it's not Him, He's a jealous God. And so part of that is releasing our heart and releasing all those things to God and saying, God, I want to release those things so that I can receive from You and be all that You call me to be. So I can be healthy and whole. So that I can prosper in all my ways. That's when He says, acknowledge God, acknowledge Him, and He'll prosper you in all your ways. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things, A-L-L, all these things will be added to you. So I want us to bow our heads for a moment. Lord, I pray that every spirit of offense will be broken off. Every spirit of offense will be broken off of hearts right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray that You give us the capacity to love and to forgive just the same way that You love and You forgive us. Lord, I pray that as we release the hurts and offenses today, that Your forgiveness will flow through us, that Your love will flow through us, God. That as You pour it into us, God, we pour it right back out and we give. In Jesus' name.